Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now, time to take a check of the very latest in the world, the phenomenal world of new media and social media with our Open House guru, Steve Krieger. Steve, welcome back.
Thank you, Lee.
Steve, here's the claim. Who could imagine this, that Google and Facebook could disappear in the next 5 years?
It's a huge claim, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've become so familiar with these companies. They're a part of our everyday life. We can't think of how else we would search for something online without Google, or how we'd waste our time without Facebook. But the comment is made that these companies, if they don't continue to evolve and to keep up with the changing way that we use the internet, could well find themselves not extinct, completely bankrupt, but losing the dominance that they currently enjoy. So the argument goes along these lines. There's been three phases of the internet. The original version, Web 1.0, saw the emergence of some big companies, your Googles and Yahoos and Amazons, that have dominated their particular field of search and books and music. Then we evolved to a more social internet. So we've seen these companies like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube emerge as people have started to share content more and more. And the third era is mobile. So we've seen more and more people adopting smartphones and wanting to access the internet and to relate via social media when they're on the go. And as each new paradigm of the internet evolves, that presents different challenges for the existing companies to have to navigate. And what the author of this article in Forbes magazine was contending was that companies haven't been very good at adjusting to new paradigms. So Google, that was so strong at search, really hasn't done very well with its social media attempts, Google Buzz and now Google Plus. Even Facebook has really struggled to provide a suitable platform for people to relate and to use its product on mobile in the way that some of these other new emerging companies have, like Instagram, which we looked at last time, that platform for taking and sharing photos with your friends. And so the challenge for these companies is to be able to adjust to new ways of thinking, new ways of using technology. And because the way that we use technology is changing so fast, because new products, new ways of thinking, new ways of using technology are emerging far quicker than they have before,
yes,
there's a big challenge for these companies that makes it very difficult for them to keep up.
And so they are saying that the future is going to be mobile.
Absolutely. Even if you look around, you're sitting on the train these days and you look around you and everyone's sitting on their iPhone.
Yep.
You know, think, even just a couple of years ago, that everyone would be using the same mobile phone would be just ridiculous.
Yes.
You know, there's such a broad range of phone types and brands, and now that's really become dominated by one brand, who have brought about the internet and great apps and great functionality at your fingertips wherever you are.
Yeah.
And so this is where everything's heading. Video, everyone's taking video on their phones. You know, you've now got high definition capacity on your mobile phone to take video wherever you are, and then even to edit it and share it directly from your mobile phone. So this is where the world is heading. We'll wait and see whether these current companies that hold a real dominance in the market are able to continue that as the world changes.
Steve, one of the very significant dynamics of this world is the extent to which businesses are more and more leveraging or have to do that in the world of social media.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess businesses are always looking for a way to find more customers and to engage with their customers. Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and even YouTube have been leveraged by these companies. If you look at just a year ago, there were 572,000 Twitter accounts created just on one day in March. That's a phenomenal amount of Twitter accounts being created, leading to 140 million tweets sent every day, month after month. So if you look at the amount, the volume of traffic that's happening on these social media platforms, and the number of new users who are entering these platforms each day. Business has identified this as a real opportunity. But I think one of the ways that the customer, people like you and me, can use social media is in the area of customer service. You know, I've had a great deal of success, and other people have experienced similar success, by engaging with companies where you can never get through to them necessarily on the phone or to get a suitable outcome. But now we can use social media to ask questions of big companies that can be so difficult to navigate otherwise, and to get a response, to get an answer, to get a solution to the problems that we've been experiencing. So businesses are trying to get us to try and engage us, to try and continue to build those relationships. But we now, as consumers on social media, have far more power, I think, to leverage these companies to get an outcome that might be more pleasing to us, to sort out some of those terrible issues we might be having with a bank account or a phone number.
Yes. And if they don't, you'll out them on social media.
Yeah, exactly. So they're always monitoring, and companies now have tools to monitor how influential you are as a customer on your social media channels. So they're able to see when you tweet about your phone company or bank company or whoever it might be, how influential you are, what kind of reach your posts might have. And they, in fact, prioritise how they will respond to those complaints and issues and compliments based on how influential you are. So it's a changing world that we live in.
I wonder whether the two worlds of business and social media are, at the end of the day, still poles apart. Won't the social media nuts be kind of so protective of their arena that anyone seeking to use it commercially will be given short shrift?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think businesses have started to use what has essentially been quite a personal platform. You know, Facebook is was really a platform for people relating with other people, and particularly their friends and acquaintances. And a lot of businesses have tried to jump on board that and try and build relationships with people in a place that people really didn't want them to relate. You know, people go on to Facebook to chat with their friends and to see what their friends are doing. They don't want to go and find out, you know, about their shampoo company, or a local restaurant. So there's a real clunkiness still, I think, to how these companies are trying to adjust to maximise social media for their profit in an arena where people often just want to be freed from advertising and from being targeted and marketed to.
Yeah, very tricky. Somewhat related when it comes to the world of business and hiring people. Apparently, 37% of employers are now checking out prospective employees on social media before they make a final decision about them.
Yeah, that's an interesting statistic, what they're calling now social media screening. So looking at a potential employee and their various social media profiles before you make that final decision to do the hire. So as you say, Lee, 37% of employers are checking first. And there's another 11% of employers who are planning to do this. So it's almost half of all employers will be, or currently are, checking out future employees before they do the hire. The biggest thing that they seem to be looking for is how professionally that future employee presents themselves online. But they're also looking at other things. You know, are they a drug taker? Do they drink a lot of alcohol? What do they do in their social life? Will they be a good representative for that brand? Employers are even looking for evidence of whether or not what that person has said that their qualifications are matched up in their social profiles online. Yeah, I think it's just another reason, a reminder for us to have integrity in every arena that we spend our time, because you never know who's going to be looking at what you've created, and how we live in every aspect of our life is completely connected.
And to think just for a second about what might seem cool at the age of 13 might really bite you badly when you're 23 or 33, because it's still up there. Unless, of course, Facebook disappears by then.
Well, we could be safe. Although it was the head of Google a couple of years ago who reminded us or gave us the brave prediction that it won't be too long before teens today will need to change their names in the future in order to survive in that new world because of the evidence of their lifestyles that may not be that flattering. And again, you know, he was flagging the fact that employers would be looking at that information. And because it's on the internet, because everything on the internet stays on the internet, would make their future quite difficult.
They have to change their identity.
Absolutely.
I have to let you go. You're doing my head in again. Steve Krieger, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.